out of heaven to find. Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul with Torah Life Ministries. We are doing another episode of the Suffer Well devotional series. And Yahweh Alone is the title of this devotional. And we're going to be reading this. This is the 355th reading of this devotional series. And it starts off with a scripture in Psalm 62, verse 5. And that says, my soul finds peace in the mighty one alone. My hope is in him. This is more than just words, more than just lyrics to a song. In Yahweh alone I find my peace. In him I place my hope. These words carry the essence of life. And with their utterance, we must stop and consider what they really mean and who really are believers around the world. Millions of them join and sing, some with voices so beautiful, most heavenly. Blessed are you, blessed is your glorious name, which is exalted above all the blessings and peace, blessing and praise. You alone, Yahweh, you have made heaven, the heaven and the heavens, with all their heart, with all the heights, with all their hosts, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve them all. The host of heaven worship you. Nehemiah 9, verses 5 and 6. And when the song ends, are they just words in a song? If you believe the words, then why the sadness? Why the fear and all the longing? If he is Yahweh and he does not change, Malachi 3, verse 6, then what he says stands forever. My soul finds peace in you alone. It is just a song, is it? Or is it the very essence of your life? You are the preserver of everything. Think about it. If he has declared that it is in him alone that you have peace, then will he allow you to find true peace in the things of the physical world? Can you find real hope and peace from relationships, even marriage? How about the perfect career or ministry? What about children and family? To the contrary, he gives us a stern warning about looking for glory in the corruptible things of the world. Moreover, if you are insistent on exchanging the truth for lies, he will give you to the lust of your heart, to the vile passions, and to the debased mind. Romans 1, 18 to 32. You will find no ultimate hope or peace in anything outside of him. So what's left? If you acknowledge that searching for peace in other things has repeatedly failed, but still struggle to find peace in Yahweh alone, then we can begin. Confess. I knew the words, Father, but my mind still tells me and more often hides it from me that I believe you are not enough. I just don't trust you for everything. And with this, the healing can begin, loved one. Your honest vulnerability before him will begin to release his peace over you. Let us pray the priestly blessing over you. Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Numbers 6, 24 to 26. So we put the name of the children of Israel and will bless you. Numbers 6, 27. Yes, Yahweh alone. Yahweh alone. As I read this and I think about this, several thoughts come to mind. The first thought is, a friend of mine recently passed away. And actually, right now, as I was recording this, via live stream, was his funeral. And I was hearing all these tributes, the sadness, the remembrance, the times of joy, and everything else about this dear friend that passed away. And I was reflecting, how often do we think about Yahweh like that? How often do we take time to remember Yahweh the way people in their lives remember somebody who is recently deceased in their life? How soon do we forget all he's done for us and that we are nothing without him? We don't need reminders to know people close to us that have passed away. Just their name recalls all these memories in our life. But I think about a wonderful creator and how people often forget, how they often get distracted, how they are often too busy. Nothing shakes them or brings them back to the truth. Another friend of mine, who's not a believer, asked me the other day, what's your story? How come you believe? What's your belief systems in the system? What happened to you? And I was recounting and telling him, well, I was born an atheist, or I was chose to be an atheist growing up. My parents let me decide what I wanted to do. They didn't force anything upon me. And I purely believed in science and nothing else. But then when I was in my early 20s, I got very sick with a deadly disease. And I overcame it. And I could no longer believe in nothing. So I chose to believe in everything. Every belief system around the world, a little of everything. They refer to that as a New Ager. And now I believed in everything. And in my search and believing for everything, somebody challenged me to read the Bible. And I said, well, where do I start? And they said, start with the Gospel of John. And when I read that, and I realized, of all these other gurus I studied, of all these other so-called belief systems, no one was able to do what Yeshua did. He died and rose again. Literally came back to life. And at the sound of his words, brought other people back to life. No one compared to that. No one came close to that. I made my decision right there that this was the true creator in human form, spreading the message. As I kept reading and living and experienced for the first time in my life, true peace, and started to understand what love is, but dealt with the struggle of actually carrying it out and then relying on what I believe to be true and shaking the fear system that I've been taught my whole life, the fear of man and living in the world, and to truly become set apart. And that was my story, and that is my story. See, we're all going to come to that point where we're going to choose what path we want to go on. But it's not something that we make a decision and it's done. It's something that has to be a growing decision. It's something that has to be a continual relationship where we learn. And we have to stay focused and stay on the path. We have to stay on the path and not let the enemy distract us. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. To believe that and trust that. And it's easy to do that when we're on the peaks of the mountain and things are going great in our life. But what about when things are going low in our lives? What about when we're in the darkness in the valley? Are we strong enough and faithful enough to stay on the path? 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of Yahweh, because you know that your labor in Yahweh is not in vain. Hearing these words and reading these words over again and believing and trusting. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourself to Yahweh as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Do your best. He deserves our best, nothing less. Are you doing your best to stay on the path? Are you doing the best you could possibly do? 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2 says, now it is required that those who have been given trust must prove faithful. Are you doing the best you can possibly do? Can you honestly and be honest with you, say to yourself, well, I can do better. I know I could do more. Remember in Hebrews 3:14, it says, for we are made partakers of Yeshua if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Not giving up. That's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to give up. I've seen people in the faith for many, many years. Many, many years. And they come to a point where they give up. They come to a point giving up. It's just not doing their best. We're told in Scripture, in 1 Corinthians 16:13, to be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous and be strong. That's what we're told to do. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap the harvest if we do not give up. Now, I know as many of you are listening to this, we went through this whole series, this Suffwell devotional series, as we come to the end of this series. I've given my heart to you. I've done my best to explain to you over and over and over again these things. Very repetitive message about Scripture. And not giving up and staying steadfast. Yes, the reason why it's called Suffer Well is because the reality is it doesn't end when we accept Yeshua. That's when it begins. There are all going to be trials. There is going to be suffering. But there's a difference between suffering and suffering well. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood to the test, he will receive the crown of life, which Yahweh has promised to those who love him. Which he's promised to those who love him. To stood the test of trial. I try to be a witness. It's one thing to witness to people that say they know him. People that know him. It's one thing. It's a whole nother situation to witness to people that don't know him and don't believe. Some even come against him to find a way, to find a way to reach them. But we must remember Yahweh is the one that does the work. He just uses us. Let his words come out of our mouths. Let our actions glorify him. Let the fruit of our lives, the peace and the joy amongst the trials, stand as a testimony. Hebrews 10:35 and 36 says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to preserve so that when you have done the will of Yahweh, you will receive what he has promised. In Yahweh alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 1 verses 5 to 7 says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue and virtue knowledge. And knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. You know, we need to weigh out the decisions we make in our lives, and we need to stay steadfast on them. Romans 5, verses 3 to 5 says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that the suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because Yahweh's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, let me explain this to you. We're going to make decisions in life. And we must make these decisions with great wisdom of Scripture. Do not be of your own mind, it says, to take on the mind of Messiah when we make these decisions. These decisions could have lifelong impacts, whether it's a relationship, of marriage, whether it's a relationship of business, whether it's having children, and all these decisions you make in life have a great impact for the rest of your life here on earth. And we have to deal with the consequences of making a decision that's not leading us or led by our wonderful Creator. So we must weigh out every situation we're in according to Scripture. And compare it to Scripture. What does Scripture say about these situations? What does Scripture say about these things, even down to our health? What does Scripture say about the food we put in our body? What does Scripture say about not getting enough rest? What does Scripture say about these things? Trust me, if you go against Scripture, there are grave consequences. There are consequences. But Scripture shows us we must stick to our word and stick to our vows. We need to think about what we're getting ourselves into before we make these vows. We must think about every situation and compare it to Scripture. But it's never too late for a new beginning. It's never too late to turn it around. But whatever decision we make, we must stay fast and steadily on the path. 2 Peter 3:17 says, "Therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability." Ephesians 4:14 says, "Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind and teaching by the cunning and craftinesses of people of their deceitful scams." We need to trust Yahweh with all our heart, it says. With all our heart. To never be shaken. No fear of bad news, that we're trusting in Yahweh. It says in Isaiah 26:3-4, "He'll keep us in perfect peace, those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in Him." Trust in Him forever. He is the rock of eternal. This is what we must understand. Psalm 57:7, "My heart, O Yahweh, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's so many distractions in this world, distractions in our lives that the enemy wants to distract us. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. It says in 1 Corinthians 7:35, "I am saying this for your own benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve Yahweh best. With as few distractions as possible. Because all too quickly the message is drowned out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth and the desires of other things. So no fruit is produced." Mark 4:19. That's an important verse. That's an important verse. Stop being distracted. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed. That's what it says. Not by the world, but by Yahweh's perfect will. Not to love the things of this world. We must stay focused on Yeshua. It says in Hebrews 12:2, "Fixing our attention on Yeshua, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." That's what we must do. That's what we must do. Yeshua is there. The enemy wants to attack us and distract us. Don't let that happen. You know, persevere through those times. Persevere through those hard times. Make every effort, it says in 2 Peter 1:5-7. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, "Fight the good fight. Lay hold eternal life, whereat thou art also called. He has professed a good profession before many witnesses." And in the confession, 2 Timothy 4:7-8, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which Yahweh, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who are eagerly look forward in his appearing. When I started this today, I said I was an atheist, believing only in science. Look at our bodies and everything about it. There's no possible way there could be no creator. There's no possible way in evolution from a fish to where we are today. Everything, when I travel around and I look at the fruits on the trees and I look at the flowers in the field, Yahweh's a beautiful artist. And he's real and true. Not only was he able to bring himself back from death, but even more amazing, which happens every single second that people don't get, is that he can create life. Wow. Wow. It's one thing for this life to come to an end because of the wear and tear we put on our bodies. But it's a whole nother thing for life to be created. Even more astonishing proof that Yahweh is real and Yeshua is the only true Messiah. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And only through him do we have life. All throughout the original covenant, they were looking towards a Savior and a Messiah. Forward to that day. And now we look back on that day. He's coming. He's coming again. And the first time he came for the right, for the sinners. And he's coming back the next time for the righteous. And he left us a book when he freed us that day from death row and took our place, called the Bible. And in the Bible, there are guides for us how to live our lives. How to live our lives. It says in James 1, 2, and 5, 1, verses 2 to 5, my brothers and sisters, when you have many kinds of troubles, you should be full of joy, because you know that the troubles test your faith, and this will give you patience. Let your patience show itself perfectly in what you do. Then you will be perfect and complete, and will have everything you need. But if any of you needs wisdom, you should go ask Yahweh for it. He is generous to everyone and will give you wisdom without criticizing you. Wow. He's given us this book of life. Romans 5 verses 2 to 4 says, because of our faith, Yeshua has brought us into the place of undeserved privilege where we now stand and will confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing Yahweh's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confidence of hope and salvation. You see the process that we go through. It's a process. And it's an ongoing process. 1 Peter 5:10-11 says, in his kindness he called you to share in the esteemed glory by means of Yeshua our Messiah. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore and support and strengthen you and will give you a place, you on a firm foundation, all the power to him forever and ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And James 1:12 says, Yahweh blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that Yahweh has promised to those who love him. We must continue to get close to him. Do not get worried. Be strong in him. Remember it says in, love never gives up and never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures throughout every circumstance. 1 Corinthians 13:7. I promise you, there is no one in this world that loves you more than our wonderful creator who created you. Who created you. And that is the truth. So it's the day of a new beginning. A new beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says in Psalm 62, I wait quietly before Yahweh. for my victory comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. So many enemies against one man, all of them trying to kill me. To them, I am just a broken down well or a tottering fence. They plan to topple me. From my high position, they delight in telling lies about me. They praise me to my face, but curse me in their hearts. Let all that I am wait quietly before Yahweh. My hope is in him. All my hope is in Yahshua. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from Yahweh alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for Yahweh is our refuge. I'm reading scripture to you right now. Holy scripture, which we should hear every single day and read every single day. Common people are worthless as a puff of the wind, and the powerful are not what they appear to be. If you weigh them on all the scales together, they are lighter than the breath of air. Don't make your living by extortion or put your hope in stealing. And if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. Yahweh has spoken plainly, and I have heard it many times. Power, O Yahweh, belongs to you. Unfailing love, O Yahweh, is yours. Surely you repay all the people according to what they have done. Do we get that and understand that? It's my responsibility to go out there and to witness to others every single day, and it's your responsibility as well. Never giving up hope and always staying faithful. Yes, this devotional series, in one way or another, is a very repetitive message. Not to give up hope, to stay faithful. And I think about my friend that passed away recently. I think more about Yeshua every day and what he did for us. And I also think about the glorious life we have to come, knowing that we're only here for a short time. And it's tough when somebody leaves us, but we got the hope and the joy of Yeshua for a brighter day ahead of us. So remember that and suffer well, suffer well. I pray this message really touches your heart. Please share it with others. Have a blessed day, everybody. May Yahweh be with you this day and always. Suffer well. Thank you and shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33416. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry.
With innocent eyes, she looked down at her daddy's hands so large. And with childlike wonder, she asked him about all his many scars. So he told her each story of things he recalled, and she watched him smile as he thought of them all. Every scar has a story to tell of the things we don't always remember so well. Though painful at times, each one reminds this life that we live can be frail. Every scar has a story to tell. Some scars.